I'm Nate Putterball with your sports update. The Cleveland Guardians were in Tampa Bay last night to take on the Rays, and they got roughed up 11-3. They remain a game and a half back in the AL Central. They try to get back on track this evening with Tanner Bibee on the mound taking on Nick Martinez. First pitch is at 6:10. Eugenio Suarez hit a two-run homer to help lead the Cincinnati Reds past the St. Louis Cardinals last night 4-2. Game two of that series comes your way tonight at 7:15 with Hunter Green of the Red Legs taking on Andre Palat. Catch all the action right here on The Fan. Hell is Real returns to Scott's Miracle-Gro Field tonight as Columbus Crew SC takes on FC Cincinnati. Kickoff is at 7:15. In NFL news, Kansas City Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes has been cleared for full activity in training camp. And, of course, the big NBA news of the week. LeBron watch has ended, announcing yesterday he signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with the 76ers. Bringing sports news and weapons to The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. Weather looks great this weekend. Hopefully there are some golf plans in your future. Busy week as always in the golf world. PGA Tour is in Minneapolis. We'll check in there in just a bit, as well as a major for the seniors at the Senior British. This is the final week for the goodies from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. They highlight another great golf prize package that we'll have details for you coming up shortly. But this is always a fun show that we do every year. We talk some high school golf for the next hour. Unbelievably, the season gets underway next week. We are joined in studio again this year by a couple of area coaches. Brian Unk, former PGA playing professional, director of instruction at Wedgewood, head coach at St. Charles. Brian, thanks for coming down.
Good morning.
PGA professional Brian Barnett, longtime coach at Taze Valley. We say long, as in long time, as in long drive, as whatever. Brian, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Mary Snyder played the collegiate golf at Youngstown State, head girls coach at Grove City. Mary, thanks for coming down.
Good morning.
All right. I say it every year. I'm just amazed at the level of play by pretty much every kid across the state of Ohio. You just see the level continue to increase every year. There were always good players here in Ohio. Many schools had their clear number one. That number has grown, both the boys and girls side, where you have more than just one right now. What would you attribute that to? Unc, we'll start with you.
I think more year-round play and practice. I think kids are not playing as many sports. They're playing, kind of focusing on one and just being able to train year-round in Central Ohio.
Barnett?
Yeah, I think same thing. I mean, you take a look now, kids can play in the summer, spring, and when it's 30 below, they're in hitting simulators, and the weight training and their nutrition is definitely improved.
Mary, how about you on the girls' side?
I agree as well. The girls that I have are training year-round. They're working with swing coaches. The swing coaches have more access to things that we didn't have when I was playing. There's video. There's the stats. They have the simulators that move, like the green and everything. So I just think that the tools that they have in their chest are a lot more used now, and there's so many.
It's tough to keep kids' attention on anything. But do the simulators and stuff, does that, I guess, improve, I guess, their level of just interest in keeping them focused?
I think it does. I mean, there's a lot of options you can use on the simulator, just practice or playing a golf course. I think they just understand the swing better based on those numbers that they see.
Ryan?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you get in the simulator and it can kind of give you, obviously can't really see ball flight in real time, but you can see the numbers. And you know, who doesn't like to go play Muirfield Village in the middle of December?
Mary, is it just me, or has the level of play on the girls' side risen even more just the last 5 years or so?
Well, I think girls' golf wasn't as popular for a while, and now I think it's really caught on, and there's a lot of pull to it for some girls. I still think it's not quite as high as the boys' side and getting the numbers. Like at our school, you know, the boys will have 30 kids try out, and I'm ecstatic when I have 11. Mm-hmm. But the girls that are playing are amazing. They're starting younger and younger. They have siblings that get into it, and then they raise the bar even higher each time. So each time you have those siblings, you just see them, and the next kid is like playing even more golf because they started younger and working harder. So just keeps going up.
Brian and Brian, both boys coaches, but I know you both teach both boys and girls as well. What's different in your mind on the girls' side, even just say 5 years ago?
Just more athleticism. Actually, it's funny you say that. I gave lessons to a couple girls yesterday that were kind of new to the sport, a current player on a team kind of asked these two girls to try out, and they're both volleyball players. They're both super athletic. I mean, they have a lot of speed and great swings for just kind of starting out. So they're, you know, they're into the game. They see some good results early, and it just wants them, you know, they want to keep practicing.
Absolutely. You know, they're friends. They see their friends doing it. And, you know, once that happens, and if you can make them enjoy the game, that first experience they have, then they're going to keep coming back and keep doing it and keep working at it.
Is Columbus at an advantage, Mayor? I mean, Central Ohio is loaded on the girls' side. Both state champions were from Columbus last year, and Jerome in D1 and Columbus Academy in Division II. Is the level of play really that much higher here in Central Ohio versus other areas of the state? Or is it just a one-off in 2025?
No.
Academy aside.
Yeah. I think 100% Central Ohio. That's why we keep fighting for getting more of our teams into the state championship, because Cleveland has a lot of schools. But when you look at the caliber play, by the time they get their fourth and fifth team in, it's just not the same as what we could do if we got a third or fourth team in. So I just think the caliber around Central Ohio is known to be very high. The standards are high. The golf courses are hard that they're playing. And so I just think that really teaches the girls how to play well. I know Dublin Jerome went to Pinehurst and played. They didn't make it to the third day, but they still did well, even with losing like some key players.
We are talking high school and some junior golf this morning. Tee to green here on the Fan. Mary, you've had a couple of decent teams in the past. Last year, you had a couple of gals advance to districts as freshmen. At what age do you like to see players, I guess, start to take things a little bit more seriously? I mean, it's a pretty cool thing for a freshman to have that much success, let alone two of them.
I don't really love an age for it. I think it's a kid-dependent thing. I don't want to see kids that are forced into it by parents. I want to see the kids leading the charge on that. I feel like you see burnout when you see kind of the parents being the main key pushers. So I don't really love starting off individualized in a sport that young. Eventually, probably by high school or so, I think it's kind of well, or like late junior high. But I think up until then, try all the sports, because the different trainings and stuff that you do in all the sports can benefit you in whichever one you decide you want to play.
Brian Barnett, same question to you. And Barnett, I know you had a freshman make it all the way to states last year.
Yeah, you know, those kind of players come along once in a generation. You know, but it all begins with, like Mary said, the player itself. If the player really enjoys it and they want to work at it, and that's what they want to do, then that's fine. But, you know, I'm a big advocate of playing as many sports as you possibly can until it's time to individualize.
Brian, your team had a heck of a year last year. Just came up as state runner-up, just two shots short of Dublin Jerome for the state championship. Now, you lose a couple of guys. Good news is you retain a couple of guys. Is the bullpen full, I guess, for you there at St. Charles?
I mean, we always have a lot of good players. They're self-motivated. They're dedicated. And, you know, I've never had to worry about our top guys practicing. It's more taking some time off, honestly, and kind of recharging their batteries. But yeah, we're very lucky over there to have guys that are really serious about the game.
For parents that are listening, maybe their kids are interested, but they're not as dialed in as maybe you would like to see them at a high school level. I guess the importance or recommendations for them as far as getting them out to clinics and various things throughout the summertime.
Yeah, you know, anytime you can expose your young player to a professional, a clinic, good instruction, good players, you know, do it. You know, have them do it. Have the players get, you know, have the players ask them and then be supportive of that. It's amazing how I know my team now kind of transitioned over out of my top eight or nine players. Almost all family members play golf, and it really helps.
Season begins next week. I remember back in the day, very few schools had tryouts because you're just reaching to try to get five or six guys or gals to come out for the team. Do you all have tryouts next week?
Yeah, so we're going to have tryouts on Thursday and Friday next week out at Oak Haven and Raymond. And I'm hoping to retain the girls that have been coming to our conditionings. I have about 11 right now.
Great.
Which is fabulous. So just hoping to keep the girls out. I got a lot of newbies. So we're really working hard. Brian even worked with some of our girls last week to kind of help us get going. But I just want them to enjoy it, like not take it too seriously to start. And then once you get to the point where you are taking it seriously, to still have fun, though.
Brian, how about you? I know you got a lot of dudes out there.
Yeah, we have about 30 again.
Jeez.
And I think we're going to probably
rub that into everybody.
Yeah, well, we're lucky. We always keep 25. But like Brian said, I think if you're new to the game, anytime you can be around better players, be around a pro, geez, just watch golf on TV and kind of emulate what those best players in the world do.
Brian Barnett?
Yep, that's right. We have a couple of days of tryouts coming up, and you know, we've got about 25, 26, 27 kids trying out.
You mentioned cuts. I mean, golf is a sport much like track where you can see the results. You know who ran the fastest. How hard is it to make cuts and still encourage kids to continue to stay dialed in, to continue to improve and come back next year?
I mean, we have a lot of stories that I'll tell at the end of tryouts, you know, to the young kids that missed the team, you know, just pointing to a kid who, hey, this kid missed the team last year. He worked hard and then he made the team his next year and was one of our best players. So it's really in their hands. If they want to get better, you know, hopefully they have the access and the drive to do it.
You know, the worst thing in the world is to tell a young player, young person that you can't do something that maybe they really love. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Brian said, keep encouraging, you know, always encourage that. And it is true. I mean, if you want to do this, put the time, put the effort in. And, you know, good things are going to happen.
Mary, it's the hard thing about any coaching any sport.
I don't know what it's like to cut someone, so that is not in my toolbox. I like to play Switzerland in most situations. But so I would just say, like, I keep encouraging. I just want to have enough to have a varsity and a JV. That's my big goal. Orange really has built their program. So this year we're doing our first invitational that we're hosting. Next year I hope to host our first clinic. But again, just getting the kids out there, playing as much as they can, and getting good advice from people that know the mechanics of the swing. I think sometimes there's a lot of like false pros out there thinking that they can just train everyone. And it's very difficult to take a kid from grip to hitting it. So I just think leave that a little bit to the professionals when you can.
And Brian, we'll end this segment with this. So you mentioned cuts. I mean, how tough is it if you know a kid can play, but he just has a bad week?
It's the hardest part of my job is when we, you know, our guys know ahead of time through communication and emails from the coaches that, you know, a senior has to make varsity. And that's our top 11 or 12 guys. And when a senior finishes 13th, and he's been on the team for 3 years. I mean, they know, but boy, that's hard. That's tough to talk to them and kind of shake their hand and say thanks for coming out, for sure.
More high school and junior golf discussion with Mary Snyder and PGA professionals Brian Unk and Brian Barnett coming up. All right now, let's get you caught up on what's happening this week in the golf world as we get you warmed up with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tita Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
TPC Twin Cities, the site of this week's PGA Tour stop. Michael Kim had it going on Friday. 59 he shoots yesterday. He's minus 14, leads by one. But Kim says even though Friday was special, he needs to keep everything in perspective.
You know, today was an awesome day, but I'm only halfway there, so still need to kind of get, you know, focused up for the weekend. I'm one of 15, I guess, or the 15th guy to shoot 59. You know, I kind of remember thinking on 18 that, you know, kind of you have to go for it. You know, 60 or 61 doesn't really make too much of a difference. And to shoot 59 today was pretty cool and feels like I'm part of the history books, which is great.
Part of a group three back at minus 11 is former nationwide children's champion here in Columbus, Ben Coles, 62-69. The first 2 days for Coles, who hopes to keep it going over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not as good as yesterday, but yeah, still played just fine. Just, you know, got off to a good start. And then, yeah, kind of just, you know, had a couple chances, kind of let slip away. Hit some really good shots, though, in there and gave myself some good looks. Just quite didn't make them today, but, you know, hit good putts, just didn't go in. And, yeah, obviously the course is still a little scoreable. I think the wind's supposed to blow a little bit harder this afternoon, so, you know, we'll just kind of see what happens.
Part of a group four back at minus 10 includes young phenom Jackson Koivun, 64-68 the first 2 days for Koivun, who knows he'll need to continue to score well to have a chance.
The golf course is gettable, as the scores show, but just playing smart, playing for a score, and just executing when the time is right and getting aggressive when you can. And I felt like I did a really good job today of when I was any bit uncomfortable with a number or a shot, just, you know, picking a safe line and giving myself a look at birdie. And yeah, it's just there's a couple holes that you need to be smart on, and some holes you can really get aggressive on.
Former Buckeye Neil Shipley at -3 to make the cut on the number, but again, all chasing your leader Michael Kim up in Minneapolis at 14 under par. Elsewhere, senior British at Glen Eagles, Cameron Percy -9, leads by 3. Former Buckeye Ryan Armour is at -1. Corn Ferry Tour outside of Chicago, Dylan Menante and Thomas Rosenmuller -15. They lead there by 1. Former Buckeye Maxwell Moldovan even par to miss the cut. PGA Tour Americas in Toronto, Thomas Ponder and Paul Chang are at -12. They lead by 1. LPGA is in Scotland. Jenny Shin is at -11. She is your leader by 5. And the Ohio Am wrapped up at the Virtues yesterday. Pickerington's Carson Bellish finished at 7 under par to get the win by 2. Your leaderboards are brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Visit them today at BMIFCU.org. Coming up, more high school golf discussion. We'll chat with Tim Streed of the OHSAA. Tim joins us next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
To gambling degenerates Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy Saturday, and what a beautiful Saturday it is outside today. Right around average for your July day at this time of year. Highs right around 84 degrees, light breeze throughout the afternoon to help get you through it. You have a chance of seeing a drizzle or two later this afternoon. Really not a big rainmaker by any means, though. So you should be good on your Saturday plans outside. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
The only ED we know on this show is Extra Distance. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. We talked some high school golf with you this morning. Hey, we have a great new prize package all lined up for you this week. We have a brand new golf bag of your choice from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. We have a round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies this week as well. No Twitter or X contest, so stay tuned. We'll have details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to make this great prize package yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
Again, talking some high school golf this morning. We're joined for a few minutes by Tim Streed, Director of Communications for the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And Tim, we say it every year. I mean, didn't we just wrap up the spring championships? Golf is always the first in the pecking order to kick off the fall sports season. It's hard to believe it all gets underway next week with the other fall sports following suit in the coming weeks.
It is hard to believe, Skip. You're right. We did just wrap up our spring state championships, but summer goes fast, but we're excited. We can't wait for another school year to start. And of course, starting with golf, everyone's favorite summer sport. And so we're happy to get started.
Tim, last year, the OHSAA began allowing schools to move up to Division I in some sports if they elected to do so. What were some examples of that? And I guess, have we seen any in the sport of golf?
Yeah, we did just start allowing that last year. We did not see a lot of movement in golf, though. But we did see some movement that maybe we didn't even expect. We saw movement in girls' tennis. We saw some movement in girls' basketball. And, you know, the reasons to move up, one is if a school plays a predominantly Division I schedule and they want to play in a Division I tournament, that is certainly one reason. You know, in tennis, it was interesting. A couple of schools moved up to Division I because there were some excellent small school girls' tennis players in their area who they wanted to avoid. You know, it's interesting. Some people think that the best talent is always in Division I, but that's not always the case. And so I don't remember seeing any movement in golf, but, you know, as we talked earlier this summer, we saw some movement in football this year. That was very interesting. There were some schools that wanted to get out of Division II in football and move up to Division I. So a school doing that certainly can have their own reasons to want to move up. certainly in golf, the talent is at every division. So, you know, trying to get away from one school, you're going to run into another one because the golf talent in Ohio is just that good.
Well, Tim, you know, speaking of golf, you know, girls playing on boys' teams on the golf course is nothing new. Heck, we saw that a million years ago when I was in high school. Is that only available if there is no girls' team offered, or can a girl compete on both if she decides?
A girl can compete on the boys' teams, and that can happen in a few sports. The main thing to think about is if there is a team at your school that is a full team for girls and boys, the girls need to play on the girls' team and gotcha. The boys need to play on the boys' team. But it does happen sometimes. We've seen it in a couple sports of note. Bowling is one that we've seen girls play on the boys' team. Well, we certainly have seen it in golf several times. You know, other than that, if just take a sport, for example, track and field, mm-hmm. Schools are going to have a separate girls team. So the girls need to compete on the girls team and not be able to jump over for the boys team.
How about a neighboring district, Tim, if girls golf is not offered, I guess similar to gymnastics or other sports we've been hearing about recently?
Yeah, boy, Skip, this is a brand new state law. And we just recently here in the past week sent information out to our member schools. We're working through this. Our member schools are working through this, but a brand new state law says that if you want to pursue a sport, let's say golf, and your school does not offer golf, you can essentially petition with the help of your superintendent to pursue that sport at a neighboring school district. That opportunity has been there for non-public school student athletes for a little while now, also because of state law, and now that opportunity is there for public schools too. So it's very interesting. Our member schools voted on that very proposal several times and voted it down, but certainly we are subject to state law as well, and so our member schools and the OHSA will follow that state law. There's a few sports that it will certainly come into play right away. Golf is one because mm-hmm. not every school has a golf team. But think about some sports that are a little smaller. For example, ice hockey, lacrosse are two that we've already, over the years, we've had schools reach out to say, hey, our school doesn't have a girls lacrosse team. Can our student athlete pursue that at the neighboring school? Up until now, the answer has been no, but now the answer is yes.
Tim Street of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, our guest this morning, T to Green here on The Fan. Tim, this question comes up from time to time you know, as charity golf outings sprinkle the calendar in the spring or summer. If there's a high school player that's playing on, say, a winning scramble team and wins a prize, is there a cap on that prize to retain eligibility?
Yeah, there is a cap on that, and the cap is $500, so certainly a student athlete can still win a prize. That's a nice prize. The cap is $500. The big thing that I always like to remind schools on that topic is that is certainly permitted up until the student athlete starts competing for the school team.
Right.
So, for example, if the student athlete is a member of the school team, once they start the season, they cannot play that non-interscholastic golf anymore. So, but certainly here in the summer before the season starts, win some prizes, have a great tournament, have a great event, and try to win yourself a sleeve of golf balls.
Do better than that. Tim, I know there's always a lot of discussion. We have it every year regarding maybe trying to rebalance the districts for golf. The Central District, for example, has been historically strong in the sport of golf. Mm-hmm. We know it's impossible to make everybody happy, but tell everybody again why it's so important for the OHSAA to have a wide representation statewide when you reach the state finals.
Well, you're absolutely right, Skip. That is a topic that we talk about, our schools talk about. The OHSA tournaments, and this is in all of our sports, are tournaments. Well, this is how we phrase it. They are tournaments of representation, and that means we want qualifiers from all of the six districts to advance to the district tournament and then to advance to the state tournament. And certainly, we hear from those districts where the talent level in their area is just so strong. Central District, certainly one of those. We have so many talented, not only individual golfers, but golf teams in the Central District that it's a fight to get out of your district tournament and make it to state. There are always some very talented teams that don't get to the state tournament because there's only so many slots for, in this case, Central District teams to make it to state. But the OHSA has always been about representation and about having schools from all over the state have that opportunity to make it to state. Our schools have voted on that. So even though it negatively affects some schools in some areas, the majority of our member schools do want that type of format in place.
Venues for the state championships, Tim. I know at first there was maybe a little unknown about not having these all in the same location, but you know, much like the teams, some pretty good host representatives in various parts of the state at some pretty good venues in NCR, Firestone, and North Star.
Oh, we are so fortunate to have those three courses. And, you know, as we've talked about, Skip, I would have bet $1 million we would be at the Scarlet and Gray at Ohio State for a million years. And things change, yeah, don't they? Yeah. You know, things change. And certainly the Corn Ferry event that Ohio State hosts there in October and September is a big one. It takes a lot out of that course and the staff. So for the last few years now, we've been at Firestone and NCR, and our boys D3 has a nice home there at North Star. We are just so fortunate that those courses are very excited about high school golf and about hosting the state tournaments. And, hope we're there for a long time because we thought we had a nice at OSU with Scarlet Gray, and we have it even nicer there at NCR and Firestone.
Tim, I know you and I like to go hack it around a little bit. How much are you continued to be amazed at just the level of play that we continue to see? And it gets better every year as far as what we're seeing at the high school level.
Oh, absolutely. I love watching the state tournaments for that very reason. The talent level is so great. It's so improved, especially on the girls' side. When I first started, there were some state qualifiers, especially in girls division II, that were good for their area, but maybe not state tournament level. Well, now they are. Mm. And now we have some excellent golfers at every division. And it's just fun to watch them. You know, this is their craft. This is what they do. And we see that in a lot of sports where if you look back at the talent 25 years ago, today's student athletes look completely different, and this is pretty exciting.
Tim Streed, Director of Communications with the Ohio High School Athletic Association. The golf season gets underway beginning next week. Tim, thanks for hopping on. We'll be chatting football with you before too long, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Skip.
All right, coming up, more high school and junior golf discussion with girls coach Mary Snyder from Grove City, boys coaches Brian Unk from St. Charles and Brian Barnett from Taze Valley. That's all straight ahead as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by The Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, it's better than a free bowl of soup. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. We have another great golf prize package to give away this week. We have a brand new golf bag of your choice from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. We have a round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies we'll throw in there for you this week as well. No Twitter or X contest this week, so stay tuned. Details on this week's giveaway shortly and your chance to make this prize package yours.
You are listening to Tita Green's On the Range.
Been talking high school golf this morning and junior golf. It's one of our favorite shows each year. Brian Unk, former PGA playing professional, director of instruction at Wedgewood, head coach at St. Charles. PGA professional Brian Barnett, longtime golf coach from Taze Valley. Mary Snyder played collegiately at Youngstown State, head girls coach at Grove City. Let's talk about practice, okay? Not to just talk about, talking about practice. Do you like hit balls? Like short game, would you recommend more, or does it, I guess, vary by the player?
I think it probably varies by player, but at least at St. Charles, once school starts, we have a couple practices a week, one on Monday where we just hit balls, and then Thursday we try to do a lot of short game, do a lot of competitive games, you know, up and down games, two-man team games and things like that.
It's really important to have an area where you can practice that short game, Brian, because a lot of places, you know, some places do not, where you can just practice those 50-yard shots or whatever and an opportunity to get up and down.
Absolutely. You know, you get an area where you can practice the, you know, 25, 50, 75-yard shot, or even a, you know, practice out of the bunkers. You know, that's a big advantage if you can do that.
How about you, Mary, on the girls' side, as far as hit balls or short game? What's more important?
I'm 100% more of a proponent of short game, but we are very lucky. Pinnacle Golf Course lets us practice our short game on Mondays, and then Foxfire Players Club has been letting us do the range short game, and then if we need to, we can take girls out on a few holes, because like I said, I have a lot of newbies, but I feel like short game saves people or loses them, and so I really need my girls to practice short game. Because they don't like to. So I think if you can make it more fun and do games and stuff and competitions, then that gets them a little more motivated to try.
From an instructional standpoint, especially if you have a beginner, somebody just learning, or maybe they just played for a couple of years, they really don't know what they're doing. Hit ball far and then go you start there, or proper technique and just get it in play?
I mean, it's probably dependent on each student, but I just had this conversation with a newer girl yesterday. I've never told anybody to try to swing slower, slow it down, anything like that. I'd rather them, you know, just be athletic, and we'll kind of figure out how to hit it straight.
Brian?
I like to set them up, you know, in a proper position first, and then I'm all about hit it consistent first.
Okay.
Then we'll get it at a target, and then we'll get some distance.
Coaching has really changed over the years. When I was in school, my high school golf coach was a math teacher who just basically drove us to the golf course and rolled them out and said, guys, go do your best. You have so many to coaches now like yourselves that are, you know, professional instructors and stuff. Do they know what they have at their fingertips with you all?
You'd think so. I mean, you'd hope they'd take some advantage of
it. You won professionally.
I try to let them know that when I can. But to me, the biggest thing, the coaches that I, you know, think do a great job, regardless of their golf background, they're just passionate. Mm-hmm. You know, they have passion. They want to help their kids. And if that means they have a great golf background, they can share their, their experience with them, that's great. But, you know, a lot of the best coaches I see, again, they show up on time. They have, you know, a lot of excitement. They have a lot of passion for helping their kids get better.
Besides teaching kids how to swing and hit the ball, tell us about coaching, though, in regards to making the best decisions to score the best. I mean, I don't have to tell you all that most kids are fearless and are always going to go for it, might not make the best decisions. It takes us all a while to learn how to really play and just to realize, hey, you know, par or bogey might be a good score here.
Yeah, gosh, there's so many good programs now for course management that we didn't used to have that, you know, really can show you the data. And I think, when you're in that team setting, I think it's more about bogey avoidance than it is, high score avoidance than trying to make birdies. You know, if a kid starts off bad, the story is, you know, he plays bad on the front nine and he says, okay, coach, you know, I'm going to get him back on the back nine. And the coach just says, just, you know, stop giving him away. You know, don't worry about getting him back.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, if you can get them started right and get them started on a positive note, even sometimes making a bogey on that first hole when you hit it in the trees or hit it somewhere else is a good thing. And, you know, with all the coaching tools we have, and, you know, it's not so much about instructing players, keeping their confidence up.
How about the strategy, Mary, as far as the girls' side?
Yeah, often, so with girls, it's a little different with boys. We got to make sure mine don't cry. So with girls, it is a lot of how do I just keep, so girls have a hard time with positive self-talk. So I actually had Dr. Todd Kays. He's come out the last few years, and he talks to our team about ways to stay positive, and it's really a muscle that you have to work on. So that is something I'm huge on. I do it in the classroom. And so while I'm not the skilled pro golfer of these two, I try to really work on their mental game and then making good choices on the course and course management. Don't make it worse. Like, instead of trying to hit the one in a million shot, hit the safe shot that you can then recover from.
Equipment. And I know this is a tough discussion sometimes. Equipment. Golf clubs are expensive. We know that. Oof. I know kids always want the latest and the greatest. Biggest message that you three might have to parents who may not be in the financial position to get the, you know, the latest model of everything. And I guess any ideas you might have to at least get decent fitted clubs in their hands.
Yeah, if you can get, clubs are really expensive, like
no
you said.
Kidding.
I mean, if you can get something that the kid or the junior can play with, and maybe if you can get them fit for them, there are a lot of people out there that'll take and size a junior up and say, hey, you might not need this $2,500 set of clubs. This $800 set of clubs might be good for you.
Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's one of the setbacks of the game, right? You know, just the expense of it. So if you can get fit, that's great. I would love to see, and I think a lot of club fitters do it, is, hey, here's kind of the length of club you need, the weight of the shaft, whatever. Here's your options. You know, you have a really expensive option. You have a middle of the road option. You have a lesser option. You can even buy used clubs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, any of that can help for sure.
Mary, on the girl's side, same sort of thing?
I think just talking to people. So just reaching out and asking for the help. So I have a parent on my team, and they helped get a girl a $400 set. That's fabulous. And it'll be good enough for her. And she, you know, so just even just reaching out, looking on Facebook, but making sure that you're getting something, like Brian said, about something that's the right fit. Don't give a brand new girl golfer with very little swing speed a steel shaft with like razor blades, you know. So just making sure that you get something that's sufficient. But just if you talk to people and reach out and ask, they will find something for you.
We were at the PGA Tour Superstore a couple of weeks ago. Their general manager, Tyler Goodman, was telling us about that. It's a case-by-case basis, but if there's really a kid out there, so anybody's listening, if the kid's really in need, they have a great outreach as far as golf clubs, just helping kids out.
Absolutely. You know, there are places out there that will, you know, if you buy a set from them, and especially when the kids are young and they outgrow them after the year, you might be able to take them back and they'll exchange those for you. You know, the problem is, you know, that you've got to look for it. It's not going to jump out at you.
Golf is such a great sport, and I love asking about this all the time, and that's late bloomers. I mean, maybe a kid didn't start playing until they were 14 or 15 years old, and it may be a natural where all of a sudden they just show up at tryouts, and you go, where's this kid been?
Absolutely. You'll see it all the time. Yeah. I mean, you've got, you know, 20, 25, 30 kids trying out, and man, this young man or young lady was not on my roster at all, and whoa, the swing's really good.
Any good stories, Brian, that you see somebody's like, where'd this kid come from?
I mean, so many where you don't know a kid. You know, my stories are more, you know, the kid was 5 foot one, 100 pounds as a freshman. Mm-hmm. You see him the next fall and he's 5'8", 160. And you go, okay, this kid, you know, now he can move the club a little better. He can move it faster. He's more athletic. He's been practicing. So I see a lot of that at this age for sure.
I always tell the story. I went to high school with Jerry Hammond, a PGA professional. He didn't play high school golf. Ran cross country to get in basketball shape. It's like nobody knew he could play golf. And the PGA professionals, like, what is going on? So always great stories out there. Let's go ahead and give away this week's golf prize package right now. We have a brand new bag from our friends at the PGA Tour Superstore. A round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from Titleist. Some fan goodies. Caller number 9-614-821-9710. 614-821-9710. If you or any member of your household have not won in the past 30 days, caller 9 will be our winner. Good luck. All right, coming up, we'll talk etiquette, we'll talk pace of play, and we'll see what's on tap for these coaches for their teams this season. That is next as Tee to Green continues on The Fan.
And have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. It's not even 10 in the morning and you're already trying to flag down the beverage cart. Don't worry, we've all been there. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you for tuning in. Congratulations to Jeremy in Columbus. Jeremy was caller 9, picks up the brand new bag from the PGA Tour Superstore. Round out at the Virtues, balls from Titleist. We'll have another prize package for you coming up next week. Final couple of minutes talking high school golf this morning. Brian Unk, Mary Snyder, Brian Barnett. Brian Unk, we'll start with you again. Just two shots from the state title, from tying the state title a year ago. Do you guys, do you work on that and just think about it throughout the year as far as guys, we were close?
I mean, I think, you know, we had a great year. We're proud of how we played. Jerome was just outstanding, you know, the whole year. And, I mean, we hold our heads high with the way we played. We gave it everything we had. But, you know, we're excited to try to get back there and compete again.
Brian Burnett, you had a freshman make it to states. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to start your high school career.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, it's a generational thing. It doesn't come around very often. And, you know, very excited to see what he's going to do this year.
And, Mary, you had a couple of freshmen as well, made it to district. So, again, something to build on for Grove City for you this year.
Yeah, so my two freshmen, Aaliyah and Ashlyn, are working really hard. They do a lot of summer tournaments. They did winter tournaments. They flew out of state for a few, and they've done very well over the summer, so I'm super excited to see what they do as sophomores.
How do you all coach pace of play as far as just teaching kids as far as let's go to be ready? I mean, what's the most important thing, message you can give to kids right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, the summer tournaments try to do a good job with that. I mean, you play ready golf, help your playing partners look for their golf balls if one's lost. You know, just be ready.
Like
just be ready.
Finger
to go.
Where you're standing.
No.
Hot job.
Yeah, as you say, you know, Brian said it good. You know, if you help each other, and when you're not hitting or you're not ready to play, get your yardages, get your things ready to go.
How about where are you on like with aim point? I mean, kids again, they model what they see on TV. I mean, are you into that? Do you say, guys, if it works, do it, or do you just try to discourage that kind of stuff? Be like Ryan Fox is what I'm saying.
Not super familiar with that, but okay. I have the kids. We say WWAP, walk with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And the kids get a little kick out of it. And we just keep telling them to like play ready golf, help each other, be kind.
I have a couple kids at aim point and I'll do it with them. But I'm not a big fan of like, you know, walking right up to the hole and straddling your line looking for the feel. But if it helps them putt better, I'm all for it.
And what if it doesn't, though?
It may or may not.
It
may or may not.
It's like, well, you're slowing things down. Right?
Take a look at it, find the line, find the hills, and hit it.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks,
again, Brian Unk, Director of Instruction at Wedgewood, best of St. Charles this year.
Thank you.
Brian Barnett, PGA Professional, best of Taze Valley this year. Mary Snyder, girls coach at Grove City. Have a great season, okay?
Thanks
for coming down. Busy day ahead here on The Fan. Fan Sports Saturday is next. Buckeye replay at 1 as the summer of great comebacks continues. Ohio State and Alabama in the CFP semi in the Sugar Bowl. Enjoy the golf this weekend. Coverage on our sister station, 10TV, begins at 3 p.m. For Nate Puderball, I'm Skip Mossick. We'll talk to you again next Saturday morning for our next edition of Tee to Green right here on The Fan.
Church next Sunday to save me from those double bogey blues.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.